Will you make believe with me? All right. Charlie to the neighborhood of make believe.
You might remember that trolley that helped take countless American children into Mr. Rogers' land of make believe. It was must see TV. And this morning, we're back in the neighborhood with Faith Saley as our guide.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day.
His song, his smile, and his sweaters are old friends to generations of children who grew up with Mr. Rogers.
Hi, neighbor.
Over here is King Friday's castle.
This is the real castle. Oh,
David Newell was Mr. McFeely, the neighborhood's speedy delivery man.
Good day, Mr. Rogers. Oh. Speedy deliveries.
He was also the show's props guy and PR man.
Speedy delivery. To use.
We had a very small staff. It was like, let's get together and put on a show.
People always ask me, did you learn anything from working on the show? And I said, after that many years, I could build a house out of construction paper and round tip scissors.
Nick Tallow was the floor manager and the neighborhood's court jester.
You sometimes gave Mr. Rogers a hard time.
I gave him lots of hard times.
Like swapping his shoes for a smaller pair.
Who's Arthy?
But when it came to helping children make sense of a very complicated and often troubling world, Fred Rogers was a man with a mission.
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships. Love or the lack of it.
I think what he was trying to do is teach us how to be human.
Please won't you be my neighbor?
Oscar winner Morgan Neville's new documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, is an exploration of Fred Rogers, the man.
This new medium was coming, television, and he recognized something from the moment he saw it, that many generations of children were going to be raised by this thing, and that somebody had to use that as a tool to help children.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood went on the air nationwide in February 1968.
It's a beautiful day.
Fred Rogers, an ordained minister who studied early childhood education and music composition, wrote the scripts, the songs, and created the characters.
Fred Rogers did all the voices for all the puppets.
Meow, 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 meow. Good luck, meow.
Each of those puppets in the land of make-believe is actually some facet of his personality.
I don't want any noise while I'm taking a nap.
Lady Elaine Fairchild's the troublemaker.
I'm starting my own television station.
King Friday is kind of blustery.
If it were not for me, there would be no television.
Daniel Striper Tiger's my name.
All of the insecurities and fears that Fred had as a child, he brought out through Daniel. Many of us tend to forget all of our childhood fears, and Fred didn't forget any of that.
What does assassination mean?
From the beginning, the program talked to children about difficult subjects, even those familiar 1960s traumas adults had trouble understanding.
Have you heard that word a lot today? Yes.
As simple as this show seemed, it was anything but simple. There was so much thought and consideration that went into every single thing he did.
I've been terribly concerned about the graphic display of violence. There is just so much that a very young child can take.
Oh, there's Officer Clemens.
In 1969, with battles over desegregation raging, Mr. Rogers invited the neighborhood's Officer Clemens to share his kiddie pool.
Sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable.
I thought it was civil rights light. That pool of water was so insignificant. I didn't quite get the impact of the symbolism, that so many people would see it and totally understand it.
Cool water on a hot day.
Francois Clemens was 24 years old, an aspiring operatic tenor, when Fred Rogers first asked him to visit the neighborhood.
He walked around and showed me the tree, the clock, the castle, and I thought, well, all that's well and good. But there was a part of me thinking, what does that have to do with me? I'm a ghetto boy. I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, the steel mill. Guys that I grew up with gambled, they drank, they did other things that were not so positive, but they didn't play with puppets.
I might even like to tell people how to fly.
Clemens says he didn't get Fred Rogers' message for a long time.
That's why you're so special.
And then one day...
During that segment, we made eye contact. And he said, you know, I like you just the way you are. You know, you make
you
every
make
day,
day
a special
such a
day.
Special day.
And I like you just the way you are. And something inside of me turned on, like it's turning on right now. And I thought, he's talking to me.
We've just got that inside of us. And when we can know it for sure, it's such a good feeling.
No man had ever told me he loved me. And he did. And I knew he meant it. I knew he meant it.
He certainly made me a better person.
In 1969, Joanne Rogers watched from home as her husband testified before Congress.
All right, Rogers, you got the floor.
I could tell that he was nervous.
Defending public television to a skeptical Senator John Pastore.
I'm the host, and I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write all the scripts.
Well, I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy, and this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
Pastore was a marshmallow underneath.
That's what Fred Rogers could do. He could get to everybody's marshmallow.
That's right.
Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
What do you miss most about your dad?
No. I would have to say probably his sense of humor. It's one thing people don't really quite get is he was a funny guy.
Jim Rogers says his father would sometimes use the puppet voices at home.
If we were at dinner and there was something that he wanted to say that wasn't particularly dad-like, he would use Lady Elaine's voice. Whoa. Where'd that come from?
As a king, I never indulge in baloney.
At the Fred Rogers Center in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, Emily Uren is archiving songs, scripts, memorabilia, and thousands of letters addressed to Mr. Rogers.
It's amazing what they were comfortable sharing with Fred. What do you think about this? How can I deal with this? And Fred did respond to every letter that came in.
Every letter?
Yes.
But Fred Rogers did have his critics. And there were myths. He had been a sniper and that he had tattoos.
We tend to think that most of our cultural figures have some dark side. And we've seen so many of our cultural icons falling from grace. So you almost expect it at this point.
I've got to be off, but I'll see you tomorrow.
One of the most exceptional things about Mr. Rogers is that he was exactly who you think he was. In fact, he was even a better version of that person.
Fred Rogers died in 2003. His gentle message of tolerance and love, says director Morgan Neville, is more necessary today than ever.
What he left in the millions of us who grew up watching him and loving him, that's his legacy.
You always make each day a special day by just your being you. I like you just the way you are. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.